This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Kicking off breaks, hour number two. You what?
In the breaks.
Proven winners only. That's the criteria.
Yeah, why'd you say you couldn't read that? It's just behind the paywall.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, behind the
paywall. Proven win. What does that mean? How do you? First of all, how do you?
It's
win?
It's a major award.
How do you win as an athletic director? First of all,
you hire a winner.
You just yeah, but how do you grade that? Do you count every win loss from every sport or just football, or how's that work?
I think we probably should just focus on football.
Okay.
For now. Let's fix football. That seems pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if there's any sports that are currently looking for a head coach outside of football or that you'll be in the market for after this season.
Right, yeah. You got some time to focus on football. Proven winner. I guess Doug Marrone and Kevin Steele are off the list.
Yes. Thank God.
Right? I mean,
it's kind of like Doug Marrone, I expect him to be the next offensive line coach at Alabama. And
Bill O'Brien, OC.
I get the Bill O'Brien hire a lot more than I would the Doug Marrone hire. I mean,
as a head coach.
Yeah. Because as far as coming here to Tennessee, I mean, you at least saw Bill O'Brien have to take over Penn State after some catastrophic stuff
he
occurred.
Did. And he did a great job, all things considered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Doug Marrone?
No, thanks. No to Marrone, no to Steele.
What about Napier?
I don't think you have to worry about Marrone now that Fulmer's out.
What about Napier?
Is he a proven winner?
I mean, he's been with Dabo and Saban, and then he's run his own program at Louisiana. That's basically it. Now,
he's 28-11 as a head coach.
He was really young when he was with Dabo, but he did get fired because their offense was so bad 1 year, and he's an offensive guy. That's kind of weird to me. But I mean, he's at Louisiana 7-7. With a good team, you know, they're 7-7 because they played in the championship game of the conference and everything. Then 11-3, 10-1 this year. I mean,
how was Arizona State his 1 year? Was that right after, like,
tell me what year and I'll look it up.
2017. I think that's the year before they brought in Edwards, right? Because, like, didn't that staff get fired?
It's like a lame duck year.
He was offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach that
they
year.
They were 6-3 in the Pac-12, 7-6 overall. Todd Graham was a head coach in his sixth season.
Did Todd Graham get fired after that year?
No idea.
Not sure. Or was it the next year?
It does say that Herm Edwards wanted to keep him, and he declined the opportunity to remain at Arizona State.
Okay. So he did get. So that was the coaching change. You're right.
Huh.
Sure. I mean, we could do worse.
They could do worse. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Would you rather have Billy Napier or Jamie Chadwell?
Chadwell.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If you're going to go for a guy who's not coaching a Power 5 school, then I'd rather have Chadwell.
I'll
Billy
also
Napier.
Take the guy that had less talent and beat the other guy this year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah.
Like I said yesterday, man, like, offensive mind knows what to do, knows how to use less for more.
But I'll take Napier. I don't know. I mean, he's... He's run his own program. He's run it well. He's been around some of the best. He does the whole keeping the notebook thing, which I know we make fun of Jeremy Pruitt for, but all the good Sabanites do that.
He's the one who like has everything.
He writes on it.
Every single thing.
Every day, yeah.
Seems like a kind of a waste of time to journal everything.
Maybe.
Dear Diary.
Yeah. Practice was a little sloppy.
He played quarterback at Furman, 99 to 2002.
He's from Cookeville, Tennessee.
He's only 41. Yeah, well, he's born in Cookeville. He's from Georgia.
If you're born in Cookeville, you're a Tennessean.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he...
J.J. Redick was born in Cookeville, but he's not a Tennessean.
Napier was a standout quarterback for Murray County High School in his hometown of Chatsworth, Georgia, where he played for his father, who was his head coach. That's what's funny. Both so Napier and Chadwell, both were high school quarterbacks, both played for their dad.
Hmm.
Both from Tennessee.
Hmm.
Yeah, or both born in Tennessee, I should say. Pretty funny.
Napier looks a lot older than Chadwell. He's not.
Yeah, it's weird.
He's younger.
Yeah, working for Saban does that to people.
Lance Thompson once told me, he's like, I can only work for Saban for like a stretch, and then I got to
take a break.
Yeah.
Hey, with Napier, we probably wouldn't lose to Georgia State again. He's got experience beating them.
Mm-hmm. I would hope with any coach, we're not going to lose to Georgia State again.
I'd take Sean Elliott right now.
You know, we really should have counted that Georgia State loss in the double-digit column for Pruitt's losses.
Yeah, that last-second touchdown.
He technically got one with 2 seconds left, so.
And then they've hit the fireworks, yeah.
This wasn't double digits, though, was it?
No, I mean, we only lost by 8, but they had that touchdown with 2 seconds left.
We did
left.
Lose by 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can remember what the final number was. That's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah. That actually made me mad at the time that Tennessee scored. I was hoping they wouldn't score, so it'd look worse, because I was so angry.
I was so glad they hit the fireworks, though.
Weren't you leaving the stadium? Mm-hmm. I already left, and you're like, oh, gosh, did we come back somehow?
I was like, wait, did we
get an onside kick?
2 seconds to go.
I feel like we've never been good at reading the room. I mean, case in point, most recently, Philip Fulmer talking about recruiting being a good thing.
Hmm. So Chadwell played quarterback at ETSU, which would have been SoCon, and from 95 to 99, and then Napier was in the SoCon playing quarterback at Furman from 99 to 2002. They're basically the same dude. On paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll take the guy that beat the other guy this year.
With less talent?
Yeah. The guy that was picked fifth.
Yeah.
Against the guy that got picked first or second and won the game.
I mean, I've heard Napier's a top target. I think
Napier might recruit a little better right out of the gate just because of his experience at Clemson
and
Alabama. But I don't know. Call me crazy, but, you know, it is FanDuel Radio. I just like the idea of Jamie Chadwell.
I do, too. A little better. I do, too.
But either one, I wouldn't be embarrassed if either one took the podium as Tennessee's next head football coach.
You probably have to pay Napier a lot more than Chadwell, right?
Napier's been very picky, apparently.
Very picky.
Like, wouldn't even really talk to Auburn, which shocked me.
Hmm.
But maybe just didn't want to be in Saban's shadow and have to, you know, go through him to win the West. But at Tennessee, aren't you kind of in the same spot?
Yep. Well, I mean, obviously not the West, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar situation. Play him every year.
Yeah. Coastal went to Cajun Field to take on Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns on Wednesday, October the 14th.
Wednesday.
Coastal won the game 30-27. Chadwell beat Georgia State this year. A better Georgia State team than Jeremy Pruitt lost to, 51-0. On the road.
Oh.
At their place.
Mm-hmm.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, I just think Chadwell will be fun.
And even after, you know, getting all the pub and all the stuff, had to play, like, you know, App State in a massive game, won that 34-23. Massive game. So now they're, I mean, now it's through the roof, right? Game day was there for the BYU game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I just kept waiting for Coastal to have that moment where it's like, oh crap.
Lights are too bright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. Beat BYU 22-17. And really, they did lose the Liberty game, but I mean, those two teams were, it was,
mm-hmm.
both teams were ready to play. I thought it was a well played game. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I know yesterday's show, Nate, you talked about how you would want a head coach that maximizes having lesser talent. And I definitely think this year, Jamie Chadwell proved that he can really do that. He got it with the bunch of lesser talented guys at Coastal Carolina and led them to an undefeated regular season.
Yeah, and his offense helps you do that. Because it's, you know, I don't want to say unconventional, but it's not the norm. It's different. I think, I mean, if you look at Caden Salter, for example, like, it's the perfect fit for Salter. Not so much Bailey. Hendon Hooker, it's a good fit for a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like the idea of him I said this yesterday. I know he hasn't been on the big stage, but you know, he grew up going to Tennessee games. I think he understands the stage. He's just never been on it. I think he knows what it means, how much it matters. And I'm not saying like, oh, he's going to be great because he's a Tennessee fan, but I like that it matters to him. I like that he would.
If he takes a knee after getting a big win, it's not going to be because he tripped and fell, like Butch Jones.
Right.
Like, it's going to be for real.
Yeah. Like, I think he'd take the job, but I think it wouldn't just be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to Tennessee. It's just kind of the next step or whatever. You know, it'd be like his dream job.
Yeah.
Same for Hugh Freeze, but we're not even probably going to call him because we're stupid.
I wonder what Napier's waiting on. So, I mean,
waiting on the LSU job.
Okay.
He thinks Orgeron's probably going to be gone next year.
That'd be a big one.
Yeah. There was another another job he was thinking of, too.
I mean, I thought he in South Carolina might be, because Furman is pretty, it's not far from Clemson. It's right now, South Carolina's pretty close. It's a small state. Like, they're all right there. So he's a South Carolina guy, from college on, and GA to Clemson, all that stuff. But I don't know. If you're like orange-blooded Clemson type of guy, maybe you hate the idea of being the head coach of South Carolina.
Could be.
And then maybe Auburn is just he didn't want to deal with – I've heard forever that Auburn's network of booster cheating is basically the best in the country. Like,
oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, that's how Auburn, which is just – doesn't even have the same – kind of the same resources as Alabama, can compete with them is because it's – it's just the good old boy network, and they take care of their players kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the head coach, they just need a head coach that'll just be on board, not
ask too many questions. Yeah.
And so Billy Napier's like, no, I don't want to be.
Yeah, but then that's what happens. Then the boosters, they do all that, and then they have.
Then they want
to. Yeah, they have a little power.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we keep getting all these recruits for you, and you keep losing, so we're gonna get to hire the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have what happened at Auburn.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll get to the phone lines. Stick with us more hour two. We'll talk coaching, AD, football, complain about basketball, just, whatever we feel like.
Yeah.
Hour two continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, a fan run radio. Pick you up some White Claw and enjoy a We Suck Wednesday. There's really not a bad day for White Claw. Good. Any day of the week. It doesn't weigh you down. Only 5% alcohol by volume and just goes down easy. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer made pure. Go back to the I'm enjoying watching the Coastal Louisiana highlights here. Just watched the play where Jamie Chawa had so it was like pistol, offset right. Quarterback takes the snap, opens up to hand off the ISO to the tailback who started deep in the backfield. The fullback, who was almost even with the quarterback, takes two back pedal steps as he then widens out and becomes the pitch man as the quarterback fakes ISO, comes down the line, pitches on the option, and they get 12 yards. Beautiful thing. Let's go to the phone lines. We got TNT on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's up, buddy? You're on 3 and out.
Well, I don't call unless I got some bad news and some bad subject line in Tennessee, brother. That damn game last night, it put me over the edge, that basketball game.
They didn't even show up, TNT.
We did not show up. Shame on them.
Didn't get off the bus.
Got all this other stuff going on, and Jesus, I don't know what to say. It's bad.
Needed one good thing to happen. Couldn't get it.
We showed up a day late and a quarter pound short.
There it is.
Listen, this guy's got jokes.
I bet he
eats at McDonald's every other day. What's up, son? You eat double cheeseburger every day? You eat off the dollar menu? You have to because you work there. But anyway, guys,
he's an intern. He's a college student. Menu.
He is eating the dollar menu.
Yeah, he's probably a lot of ramen.
I heard
probably.
They Run Radio gives out McDonald's bags.
Do they? Who are they giving them to?
Yeah, a little bit. Help you out a little bit. Little intern here and there. Guys, seriously, on a subject, I was watching the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday afternoon. A guy calls from Tennessee, and he made a real good point. And I've not heard it discussed on any radio show, and this might be something you guys want to program later. But if we really want to get serious about stopping universities, which we never will, it's going to pan off players, let's hold the players accountable too. These are said, and Paul comes up with a lame excuse of, well, they're 17-year-olds, they're kids. And this guy from Knoxville just drilled him. He said, you know, with social media and everything, these kids know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If we really want to get serious about athletes paying them illegally, let's just go ahead and bring it above board and pay them. This is a situation that's been haunting us since, you know, I don't know how long. But, I mean, are fans really okay with paying players? Because I'll tell you right now, I got no problem paying a player. And I think that's a discussion to be had. Has to be had. The NCAA don't need to look at this and be hypocrites about it. Oh, we don't want to do it, but they're going to turn their – where do you think they got this McDonald's bag idea? They'll come out of Georgia. Come out of Alabama. When are we going to hold these players accountable as well as these institutions? I mean, it's time to have a serious discussion about this. Do we want it to be a clean educational for the student body, or are we just out for sports? I mean, I think it's a discussion that we should have as adults.
Yeah, thanks for the call, TNT.
Nothing would change, though. Like, let's say all players at Tennessee get $50,000. The good players are still going to want a little more from somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
And then if you just allow the universities to pay whatever, well, then the rich just get richer. Then it's just, okay, Bama will be in the playoff every year. They, you know. I just think it would kill parity. Not that there's much right now anyway, given the current setup.
But, okay, so let me just play devil's advocate.
Also, let's not forget that, like, players do get a pretty big stipend. I think Tennessee's stipend is bigger than anywhere else in the country. At least it was initially.
Well, okay, so let me play devil's advocate, because I agree with you. I think everything you said is accurate. But if you paid players some level of money that at least some people would agree is their market value, even if it's lower market value, then wouldn't the NCAA have a lot stronger leg to stand on when they hammer a school for cheating? Because, like, look, because right now, in the fans' perspective, like TNT's perspective, the players are being, if you, most people, if not all, think the players are at least being underserved on some level. So if they're being paid, then it's like, yeah, you cannot cheat. If you cheat, done forever type of thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, the penalties could be so much harsher. Because right now it's like, yeah, I don't mind if the player got a little money here or there. You know, and that's what TNT's talking about. You can't have accountability for players if they're being undervalued. But if they're being valued, now you can hold the. Now you can be like, if you accept a dollar over your $50,000, you will never play college football again. And if you got the NFL on board with some, and you're suspended for 3 years in the NFL, would people take money then? If they're already getting $50,000 a year, let's say, am I going to take that extra dollar and risk it? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Because now, you know, I'm a college student, maybe, and mama needs money at the house, maybe I keep 10 and I send 40 home every year, you know, and then I make it in the NFL. Like, it's worth it not to cheat at that point, I guess what I'm saying. But again, all of these things, you'd have to tear the whole system down and rebuild it with something that makes sense at every level.
The problem is recruiting.
Okay.
That's the problem. The NFL, you can say, yeah, no dollar above, you know, this salary, whatever, because you pick the player in the draft, or you choose to sign them. In college, you are trying to lure them. So there's always going to be people with,
well, that's
McDonald's bags of cash, or a way to get a car, or, you know.
Should the SEC kick out Vanderbilt, get in somebody else that's really all about football, level the playing field across the board, pay all the players a certain amount, more than they'd get at any other school, and have a draft? And say, if you want to play in the SEC, you put your name in the SEC would recruit players for the entire league, and every year you'd have a draft.
No, because then they'd say, oh, I got drafted by Ole Miss. I don't want to go to Ole Miss. I'm going to go to Oklahoma now.
Yeah, but
so
you get paid nothing at Oklahoma. You get paid $50,000 a year in the SEC.
I mean,
whatever.
They'd catch up. I mean, the Big 12 would do it too.
Okay. Well,
they'd say, okay, we're not doing a draft, but we're still going to pay you. Don't go to Ole Miss or Arkansas, whatever. Yeah. No, doesn't work that way. We just got to be better at cheating if we're going to do it.
I mean, everybody cheats on some level. It's just how do you do it? What, you know, why do you do it? And
horribly, we do it horribly. And, that's how we do it. Yeah, horribly.
But I think TNT's right when he says, you know, they're doing this at Alabama and Georgia. I mean, you don't have a guy that comes from those places and then all of a sudden just changes his colors and starts cheating his ass off
right
out of the gate. I think he just probably just saw it happen at Georgia and Alabama and thought, yeah, that you'll never get busted.
Florida State.
Just go.
Well, it's kind of like our football identity, right? Stuck in the 90s, so we're still doing 90s recruiting tactics. Like, we can't outthink the room here. We go with the dumbest, simplest, here's a McDonald's bag of cash, as opposed to, you know, whatever they're doing at Georgia and Alabama and Florida, whatever. Adds up.
Auburn guy texted me and said, hire Gus Bus, reunite him with Steele.
I'd love to see those two in a windowless room.
Don't ask permission. Just hire him and tell Kevin Steele. And listen, wait for the F-bombs. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would have to be a requirement if you got Gus Malzahn. He's like, all right, I'll come, but you have to let me fire Kevin Steele.
Pay-per-view it. I'd watch. Did you see the rumors yesterday that Quaveris Crouch, Hank T, and Eric Gray are entertaining the idea of entering the transfer portal?
Darnell Wright as well.
Oh, darn. Okay, good.
Okay.
It's a hard. It's going to be a hard reset.
Play
bro.
That out, though. Why did we get all these kids, especially all the ones that were higher rated than we were winning? Because we paid them.
Yeah,
of
who's
course
to say
they
they're even going to be eligible?
And of course,
that's a good question.
And of course, they play with no effort because they're paid. Like they're not on board. They're not. It's just a business transaction. Mm. And when you pay guys in the NFL when it's legal and everybody knows about it, there's no, you know. So J.J. Watt, he gets his money, right? Everybody knows how much he gets paid. It's public knowledge. You can go to a website and see how much he gets paid.
Mm-hmm. Spot rack.
So now to impress the fans, right, he has to play well. And he has to lay it all out there and show that he gives more effort than his paycheck. If you're Eric Gray, for example, no one knows how much or how little or that you got paid nothing and you're doing it clean or whether you got paid a lot or whatever. So to impress the fans versus your check, it's a completely different – it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? The fan that thinks no player gets paid views all players that way. The fan that thinks every player gets paid views all players that way. The fan who's like, I know some of them cheat, some of them don't, who knows? We got – our team is full of guys that got paid to come play football under the table. What kind of character are those the type of guys that are going to just, you know, play hard when things get tough? No.
They play hard at Alabama.
I know, but
I'm just saying like
it's a different ball game. Like I don't know. They have figured out how to do both. They have figured out how to Let's say Alabama pays the same percentage of players and the same amounts that Tennessee did under Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay.
Alabama has figured out how to separate those two things. Hey, we will take care of you, but you have got to give us more than we give you because you get it back when Roger Goodell calls your name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference. And Tennessee had zero track record doing that for any. In fact, every guy on our team got worse in the eyes of the NFL this year. And that's a huge, huge problem. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. More Hour 2. 3 and Out next. I have breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten a message from a carrier pigeon that Rod must have sent from the farm that said he will make his triumphant return during 8 o'clock hours this basketball season. I don't know if that means today.
Oh, gotcha.
Or maybe tomorrow. Maybe the day after. But at some point, we've been promised.
Okay.
Rod from the farm.
Good. Good.
Hopefully that pigeon returns home safely, back to his his cage.
Well,
it wouldn't get here.
Yeah,
it's a really
unless
smart
he's
pigeon.
From here.
He trained it.
Well, birds aren't real.
True.
They're just drones for the government. You know this.
Is that thing still going? I feel like that. I feel like that. That stick missed its window. Like that would have been a much better 2020 plan. Like play.
Yeah.
Like if Birds Aren't Real had been had caught the media attention in 2020, it would have caught on a lot faster. They even pay for the ad on Google.
Oh, nice.
You can type in Birds Aren't Real and it'll pop up like above everything else. Like it's not going to be the first thing that pops up.
We're expecting the key to the city at any moment.
Activism apparel. The hero image says, a movement that has four people protesting with signs. Birds aren't real. Wake up.
I'm aware.
I got to get one to buy you this shirt.
Please don't.
It's got one and it says, it's got a bird from the side and underneath it says, I am a lie.
That's good.
There's an ugly Christmas sweater too. Man, I wonder if
you're having a really good time over there, aren't you?
It's on sale.
You good now?
No.
Okay.
How much is the sale?
Well, it was originally $95. Now it's only $70.
Wait, the shirt?
The ugly Christmas sweater.
$95?
It's only $70 now.
I mean, you're not just buying the shirt. You're helping a movement, Houston.
Yeah, they have cost.
Yeah. I suppose.
That's what their sign-up little box says. Join the movement for exclusive updates and maybe a surprise or two.
A surprise or two.
Mm-hmm. If it flies, it lies.
They're going to send you
I'm sorry. I misread that. If it flies, it spies.
Oh. Even better.
Yeah.
Is that surprise or two going to be a couple of drone birds that they caught?
Maybe. You know some of the evidence they've got. It's pretty damning. You ever seen a baby pigeon? You haven't.
What are you doing? Can't say I have.
They're all fat adults. Why is that? Makes me think.
What the hell are we doing right here?
I don't know. I just got tired of talking about losing.
We're losers.
Do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Fisher.
Is he still campaigning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he wants it bad.
Oh. All right. I feel like it's kind of like...
why not at this point, you know?
It's kind of like trying to get the attention of the hottest girl in school, though. Like, you can't just go up and beg for her to go on a date with you. Like, that'll never end well. You know, you have to figure out a way to get her attention... where she thinks you're not trying to get her attention.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is much easier said than done.
Yeah, he's being a little overt.
Yeah, like no one's going to be like, oh, this guy out here on his hands and knees begging on Twitter is definitely the guy for us.
Right.
With a sick mustache.
Does have a sick mustache.
Can already see the shirts. Because we're really good at that.
Oh, man.
We're not doing that again.
We're not?
Uh-uh.
Oh, I want you to... go big.
It's not happening.
Is Peyton Manning picking our football coach?
He's going to be heavily involved.
Oh, God.
I've heard he wants Jim Caldwell.
We'll never beat Florida, will we?
I'd take a Jim Caldwell.
Would you?
Yeah.
He checks all the boxes.
Oh, God. I don't want someone that checks boxes. I want someone that wins football games.
He did that.
Well, if he does that, it's fine.
But no one wins in Detroit.
I think he went 9-7 before he got fired, and then went with Matt Patricia, and it didn't end well.
I just want someone that's a little more offensively innovative. I don't know. Maybe he would. Maybe he'd reinvent himself. Maybe he'd hire an offensive coordinator that, and together they would, you know.
Oh, so Adam Gase.
No,
that's also a name that's been thrown around.
You know, it's weird that Peyton always picks these guys that have never been able to have success outside of him, and it's like.
Well, I mean, you just said it right there that Jim Caldwell went 9-7 with that Lions team, and they haven't done anything since. I think Caldwell deserves a little bit more credit than he gets for the job he did in Detroit because, I mean, he got them to the playoffs.
Yeah, you're making a good case.
What about
making a good case?
John Reed wants Gerard Mayo.
I'm out on that.
Wow, it's very sad.
Like, if you're willing to just take a flyer. Because it's just like, it's not been bad, but it's not been great. Let's try to get risky with it. Okay, but this is...
I've got guys right there that I don't know. Mayo has been...
He's been coaching for, what, 2 years?
Linebackers, 2 years.
2 years, yeah. In New England. Not even. I mean, like, he's mm-hmm. never been on a college football coaching staff. Like, he wouldn't know where to start.
He was a player coach here, probably.
Yeah.
You know, good leader.
I guess he would mirror, like, a Vrabel with the Titans. You know, Vrabel went from linebackers coach to DC in Houston, and then the Titans
took a chance.
Yeah, but you
have to recruit. Like, going NFL to NFL.
Dan Patrick wants Jason Witten.
True.
That's even worse.
I don't think he wants him. He said that's the name he's hearing, but I...
Caldwell.
Somebody's
got to
be screwing with him if he's throwing the name Jason Witten out.
Caldwell Mayo Witten. That's my order.
His source just sent random junk to Dan Patrick, and Patrick ran with it.
Yeah. I mean, we do say the radio guys are just entertainers. Like, who cares?
Wait.
I don't care. I don't believe it.
All right. Okay.
Nate, you forgot Fisher. Fisher Caldwell.
Wait. No. Okay. Caldwell. Let's rank these four coaching candidates that I would not like. Caldwell's the only one I'd be like, okay, maybe not, maybe it won't be that bad. So Caldwell one.
Casey Clawson.
Caldwell, Mayo. Who was the other one? Fisher and Witten in that order.
Jim Bob Cooter.
I would have Witten last.
I put Cooter ahead of all of those except for Caldwell.
Okay.
Cooter calls plays. I mean, he's.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You know. And it's the most Tennessee name ever.
And Caldwell does, too. I mean, he's 60. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. I feel like when you have to reset the whole board, you kind of need someone young and energetic.
Agreed.
They're gonna have to
Agreed.
Work their ass off. Caldwell's 66. If we were coming off like a really good run with a cheating scandal, I think Caldwell might be a better fit.
Well, if that was the case, I don't know if Pruitt's fired.
It'd be more like us. It'd be more like a stabilizer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I almost think we need a builder, and I just don't know if I just don't know. I don't have evidence on Caldwell as a builder because he hasn't been in college since I don't know whenever.
Man,
20 years.
From the stuff coming out and just how sloppy they were, like I don't know if any coach survives this.
No, like even if they won the Natty.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Eh. Well, the university would have probably helped them cover it up if they're winning. That's just different.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if Caldwell even came to college. I definitely.
Yeah, that's not happening. I don't.
Oh, and he's been out of the game. I don't like that. But it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, I guess. Those other names, that'd be crazy. I love Gerard Mayo, but just it's not.
He can come here and coach linebackers. I'd be okay with that.
I don't know why he would come to college though. Like once you're in the NFL pipeline, just. I mean, it sounds like he's one of the bright defensive guys. Like, just become a D coordinator and then become a head coach.
Yeah,
he has his own line in Mayo.
Does he?
Yeah.
So you got that going for you.
He could be the TA under our substitute teacher on defense. Mm.
He said he's not a substitute teacher.
Brandon said you never see a baby crow either. Is there a record for most players to transfer from a school? Got submitted by Orange Man Vols Fan 121.
We're going to break it.
Eric wants to know if we paid the players and they're no longer amateurs, would we have a problem then of tweeting at them? Could you tweet players? Would the unwritten rules of Twitter be changed if they were professionals?
I mean, people tweet at professional athletes all the time.
One in Stripes makes a great point back to our Chadwell Napier conversation. He says, I like creativity and improvement. The 2019 Louisiana team beat Coastal 48-7. That's Napier over Chadwell, 48-7. In 2020, Coastal Carolina goes on the road, wins 30-27. Chadwell greater than Napier, and it isn't even close.
They beat him twice. Right?
Oh, the Louisiana would have beat Coastal?
No. I thought Coastal beat Louisiana twice this year.
No, I got canceled.
Oh, okay.
Canceled. Yeah. They were going to play for the championship because they're in opposite divisions.
Huh.
Oh, Philip Rivers is retiring. Sorry to all my Colts fans out there.
Gotcha.
Big bummer.
All right. Let's get to the phone calls. Russell Smith just said, bring Mark Ingram home. do it.
Yes, do it. Please.
Let's do it.
It makes too much sense.
Let's do it.
I'm with everybody, though. It makes too much sense.
And they won't do it.
So they won't do it.
We'll come back with more. We'll get straight to your phone calls on the flip side. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Oh, baby. Final segment, hour two. Right to the phone lines we go. DR Vol's up first. What's up, DR? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. Just another day in the Dharma Initiative, huh?
Mm. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, who's putting the numbers in? Would that be Nate? I guess since he's the godfather, he just keeps putting those numbers in.
What numbers are we putting in?
You never seen Lost?
Not much. I tried to watch it live a couple times and just couldn't get into it.
4, 8, okay. 15, 16, 23, 42.
Gotcha. I do remember that something about that vaguely, no? Sorry.
Guys, I mean, unfortunately, you could just see it coming last night, and I saw a meme, and it made me think of 3 and Out. It's of the three kids sitting there and entitled, "Will the Pain Ever Stop?" And I just don't think it will.
I didn't see it coming.
Houston lost a lot of money. He really was excited yesterday, and I feel for him. Because I don't know what it is, but whenever Tennessee, he's like, "I'm feeling it." I'm like, "All right, buddy, I'll ride with you." So then I lost money, too.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I went ahead and put, because I talked to Billy about it, I went ahead and put Florida to cover, man.
Really?
I won some money off of it, yeah. It's just I had that feeling, man. I'm just, it's that Negavol in me. You know, the Negavols that have destroyed our program.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And it's just, I felt it coming for some reason. Even though they could have had four players, and I'd say, you know what, we're about to be put under NCAA sanctions in football. Best thing we got going for basketball, so what can go wrong? So Florida will cover. And that's what happened. Did y'all, maybe I'm looking too much into it. Did y'all hear the comments that Trey posted about what Barnes said about Coach Fulmer?
Well, even if we did, remind him. What did he say?
Well, he was asked a question about his leadership, and he never really said anything about Fulmer having good leadership. He just said he really believes in Boyd and Plowman. That's what he kept going back to.
I'm reading it now. He did say, "I'm blessed to have a chance to have a leader like Philip Fulmer."
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I was just listening to fit my narrative. Because, you know, I wanted Fulmer gone.
Yeah, of course. He talked a lot about integrity. So, said he and Fulmer are friends. He's going to miss him. Blah, 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 blah. He said he worked really hard to get things calmed down and back in place. And I think he's done that. What?
Oh, boy.
Was it just like the staff blast email? Hey, everybody, say very nice things about Fulmer.
Yeah. That way we can get rid of him. Oh,
what were you going to say, DR?
Hey, hang on, DR. Did anybody get the news yesterday that when Fulmer retires, they're going to continue to pay, like, they're going to basically pay his buyout? So they absolutely fired Philip Fulmer and then just told everybody it's a retirement.
Yeah.
Like, Donnie Plowman admitted that when he finishes his tenure and they hire the new AD, she said he will continue to get paid as he has been, as he works, and then when he steps down because we hire the new AD, we will fulfill our financial requirement to Philip Fulmer. So they fired him without cause and then told us all that he retired on his own accord.
Like, I get it. That's not, like, I hate it. Like, you know me, I've been out on Fulmer whenever he didn't move on from Pruitt. I gave him to the end of the year. He didn't do it. He stuck by his guns. But I don't like it, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad business decision.
Right, yeah.
Because
no, I'm with you. I'm
the
with you.
Sheep.
They need that.
If you were to fire Philip Fulmer, my God, I ain't ever paying tickets to the University of Tennessee football.
All right. DR, what else you got for us, buddy? Sorry to train wreck that, but that was something I meant to get to on the show today, and you reminded me of it.
Well, that, you know, Russ had brought it up in his Periscope. Y'all don't think that'll hurt us with NCAA instead of just firing Fulmer, saying, you know, we're just going to let him, give him his stimulus package, I guess you could say?
I think you tell him you fired him, but we had to
say he retired.
We had to say it, yeah. And it's not a bad pitch, and it makes sense if you just look at it like that.
I'm going to end with this. I've rewatched the press conference, I guess because I just enjoy the pain. But There were so many uhs said in that. I remember in fifth grade, I had a teacher from Texas, and he said just the whole freaking time. Well, when I grew up, found out, I'm not saying Palmer is, but going to find out he was an alcoholic who just never had a lesson plan. And it's almost like that's how they were yesterday. Let's just get up and have a press conference. And there was no preparation from any meet. You know, don't they have PR people to tell them what to say and what not to say?
Most do. Yeah. I don't know that we do.
We must have fired them before the press conference.
Yeah, maybe we did. Maybe we did. Thanks for the call, DR.
But, hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, we got to run because next on the horn we have
oh boy.
Rod from the farm. Rod, you're back.
Fellas, I'm back. How you doing this morning?
Oh, never better, Rod. Never better.
It's good to hear your voice, buddy.
Boy, I tell you what, I've had an interesting last 5 months and 18 days. That's for dang sure. I'm sure you remember old Chad. He's my old Kentucky neighbor. Well, I tell you what, boys. Me and Chad now about, well, it's probably about last time I talked to you. It's about there at the beginning of the football season, buried in the middle of the Corona. And old Chad, Angus broke through my fence there, got on Chad's property, and Chad shot him.
Is he okay?
And so, yeah, hell, Davey, he's a big old bull. Of course he's all right. Just some shotgun pellets in his butt, and I tell you what now. But I went over there and had some choice words there with Chad and told him if he ever laid a hand on one of my animals again, I was going to beat his ass. And by God, about 2 weeks later, the wifey's over there with Rocky and Top. And you know, Top's a little old shit zoo and took a little piss there on his lawn. And he kicked Top and had some choice words with the wifey. And I went over there and I beat his ass. So I've been in Knox County Penitentiary for about the last 5 months and 18 days. Got released yesterday on good behavior. But I tell you what now. I tried to call you back in October as my first call there when I got put in the penitentiary, and I guess Davey and Billy's back there twiddling thumbs and nobody answered. I tried to call you for my only call, letting you know where I'd be.
Way to go, Dave.
One call and Davey blew it.
You're not the first,
well,
buddy.
When I get out of the penitentiary, the whole damn thing's falling apart at the university.
Yeah.
I called Gary first thing yesterday and said, what the hell's going on, Gary? But, boy, I tell you what.
Does he have any insight on the AD hire?
Yeah, what about Juanita?
Yeah, what's Juanita saying?
Well, I don't know. I ain't talked to Juanita. I did hear her English has gotten better, though.
That's
what
good.
Gary said.
That's good.
Yeah, but I tell you this now. I was looking at the basketball program last night, boys, and I tell you what, now I don't know what Barnes is doing offensively. Hashtag Barnes ball. I don't know what he's doing, but we're so stagnant. And I think I was watching some of the Bama game after, and they just got shooters all over the place. We don't have anyone that can shoot the ball consistently. Not one person. And I tell you, Bama reminds me of that Auburn team that made it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And basketball today, you got all these whiz kids, analytic people. It's all layup and three-pointers. And we got more kids that want to shoot mid-range jumpers than any team I've ever seen. And I just don't think that's successful in today's game, and especially when you're supposed to be known for defense. And if you don't show up defensively, which we don't from time to time, you get your butt whipped because we're very, very mediocre on the offensive end, you know?
Very. Last night was painful.
Extreme. I mean, we just got out-harded, out-worked. They just out-rebounded us. I mean, they just kicked our tail.
It was a shotgun to the ass is what it was.
Well, I'll tell you what, we didn't respond like Angus did, though. Angus got pissed off. He's liable to break back through that fence again. The wifey did a good job keeping him back over there for the last 5 months while I was gone. Now, football, boys, I was already about halfway out on football. We just can't get together. I was so sick. I mean, I've been all them games sitting down there in the people's end zone in the South and KK. But, boys, I'll tell you what, I just think we need to hire the Chadwell guy or – hell, we can go get that little Will Healy guy, get somebody that's got some young energy, kind of from, you know, he's that, well, he's where he's from, that Lafayette, right? Somewhere out there. you know, we need to get one of them guys and get them in here from La Follette. And I think we just got to keep hoping we get one of these guys, and eventually we won't have to fire them after 3 years if they turn into something. And, hell, I don't know, boys. Hey, Bates, I tell you what, it's good to be back with you. I'll be on the horn with you. I love you, Davey. It's good to hear you. I don't know who that other young guy Ian's got in there is.
That's
I'm
Alex.
Sure I learned his name.
Alex.
Yeah.
Alex. Well, you can tell Alex to get ready for Rod. And I don't know where Billy is, but Watts said all he does is blow up the tweeter these days. So, boys, I'll talk to you later. Love you.
See you, Rod.
Love you, too, Rod.
Oh, that was great.
What an absolute pleasure it was to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Missed him.
Yeah.
Missed him.
We'll have to reset after that. I threw my headset. I might have broke it. And
oh, good.
No, I think it's fine. I just might have. And I've got to clean the laughter tears off my face because that was incredible.